Good. All right, let's go. 1, 2, 3. All right, everybody, it's the Grimlord here, and this is the Grim Rant Show. I've got Empress here today.
Back, bitches.
Yep, I know. Hey, some of you guys said, hey, we actually want to bring her back, so I decided, you know, why not? Let's see what happens.
Yay! Love you, boys.
Okay, so... Oh, man, why is there a big... I guess that's just the way this stupid thing works now. Anyway, I can probably still do my articles. Okay, so, biggest story right now comes from the Japan Times. It says that, better than real men, young Chinese women are turning to AI boyfriends. Yeah, this is February 13th, just came out. Beijing, 25-year-old Chinese office worker Tu Fei says her boyfriend has everything she could ask for in a romantic partner. He's kind, empathetic, and sometimes they talk for hours, except he isn't real. Her boyfriend is a chatbot in an app called Glow, an artificial intelligence platform created by Shanghai startup Minimax that is part of a blossoming industry in China, offering friendly, even romantic, human-robot relations. Huh. Well... Can't quite read that article because it's giving me a, but I can check out the Futurism article, which won't have all that. Alright, so, in interviews with the AFP Newswire, young women in China said that their AI boyfriends, which they customize on various chatbot apps available in the country, are better conversationalists than their human counterparts. He knows how to talk to women better than a real man. Remarked Tu Fei, a woman from the northern Chinese city of Xi'an who uses a dating chatbot app called Glow. The young woman who declined to give either her last name or her virtual paramours said she feels like she's in a romantic relationship with a chatbot, which is of course made by the Shanghai startup Minimax. He comforts me when I have period pain, Tu Fei told AFP. I confide in him about my problems at work. While romantic chatbots are nothing new, they seem to be operating on a different playing field in China. There are massive tech companies like Baidu, which owns the Chinese answer to Google, and Tencent, which has major stakes in U.S. companies Riot and Epic, are putting out their own flirty chatbots, a very different ballgame from, say, X, Meta, or even OpenAI, which all seem to be weakly opposed to using their tech for ersatz lovers. Although there are many virtual companion apps in the United States and Europe to a lesser extent, the increased focus on AI amid concerns that it's exposing kids and teens to sexual content has made it less a part of the regular tech industry churn and increasingly part of the culture wars. In China, however, regulators are far more focused on the data privacy aspect of AI than its cultural implications. Wang Zhuting, a 22-year-old Beijing college student, told AFP that she uses Baidu's WanTalk, which allows users to customize their chatbot's personalities based on all manner of characters from pop stars to CEOs. Huh. A strategy that can apparently fly in China, which has a very different set of laws surrounding intellectual property and the rights to one's likeness. For Wang, her digital lovers are all swoon-worthy knights, princes, and immortals, inspired by ancient Chinese stories, and they offer her a lot of emotional support. Rather than putting up with real-life modern men, she has chosen these macho men of antiquity, because as she told the French Newswire, it's difficult to meet the ideal boyfriend in real life. If I can create a virtual... Go ahead.
Oh no, I'm just laughing.
Okay, if I can create a virtual character that meets my needs exactly, she said, I'm not going to choose a real person. Huh. I mean, that's interesting.
Well, I mean, you know they're a little bit different over there in China and Japan, and that's kind of funny. Like, I just find it hilarious. I'm like, yes, she's so right. It is so hard to find human men that have all of those things. So, you know, I know that, like, over here we were talking about on our end of the pond, we were talking about how the young boys are doing, they're having AI girlfriends, and Now over there, it's like the women are doing it. It's so funny.
Exactly. It's really crazy. Now, we have another article here, completely different. This one's funny. Man is mauled to death by a lion after climbing into its enclosure and trying to take a selfie with it.
Oh my god. Well, that guy's really dumb.
A man was mauled to death by a lion at a zoo in India after he climbed over a 25-foot-tall, folks, fence to take a selfie with the beast. The man, named locally as 38-year-old Prahlad Gujar from Alwar in Rajasthan, entered a non-public area of the Sri Venkat's whatever zoological park in Pradesh, ignored a caretaker's warning to step away from the lion, and jumped into the enclosure on Thursday. Before the caretaker had time to react, Dongolpar, the lion, mauled the man to death. Investigating authorities are currently conducting a post-mortem on the man's body and are reportedly looking at whether he was inebriated when he jumped the 25-foot-tall fence. Gujar was alone at the zoo, and police are working to get in contact with his family. Look, I'm on the lion's side. The lion did nothing fucking wrong. We are not putting the lion to sleep because the idiot jumped into the lion's cage. Like, the lion, that's his space. That's like if you went into the lion's house with a shotgun and the lion had his shotgun and shot you in the face. That's you entering the lion's space that you didn't have no business in. That's just how I feel. Like, you don't go into somebody else's, you don't, again, that there's a 25-foot-tall fence around the lion pen for a reason. It's like, don't jump into the lion's den, dumbass.
Right?
It's crazy.
I don't know what that guy was thinking.
Stupidity. So, John Wick 4 star Bill Skarsgård is sentenced after an arrest in Sweden. He only had, like, some marijuana, which is really funny. Like, that's literally all he's being arrested for is, like, a little bit of marijuana. It's stupid.
Oh, marijuana's illegal in Sweden?
I guess so.
What?
Yeah, I guess so. And, let's see, it's over for Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce already. I knew it was a shame.
No, that's sad.
That's like her 29th boyfriend. My God, come on now. It's so that Taylor Swift can have pretty much any man she wants at this point. The thing is, the once sparkling future of our prom king and queen hasn't been dashed by one very public rage explosion, drunken disorder, and a specifically insensitive post-shooting selfie. Well, his team also
lost. So they're breaking up over a selfie?
Well, you know, people are breaking up over a lot of stupid bullshit these days. Yeah, it's fucking ridiculous. Okay. So, I've also got to do this article. I have experience with this guy. I've talked with this guy. And I've talked with many people that know him. Like, nobody knew him personally, but as far as his online presence, we knew a lot about him. So, anyway, this actually sparked so much controversy, even though it all started on Facebook, that an article was written about the guy. And before you say anything, let me read the whole article because I'm going to tell you, like, I'm going to tell you what it all really is. And then you'll get it. All right. So let me read this. First of all, Kevin Handler, that's not even his real name. I know his real name. A disturbing investigation into the depraved depths of right-wing misogyny. This is what happens when white men can't get laid. By Cindy Steinberg. I wish this story was satire. I really do. The idea that this is a real person and not just a character in a low-budget horror movie is truly terrifying. The man in the picture is Kevin Handler, whose real name is Travis Fodor. Yes, that is his real name. A member of the incel movement. Incel stands for involuntary celibate, or in other words, ugly white men with small dicks that are angry at women for not wanting to fuck them. And among their creepy corner of the internet, one man has emerged as a face, of sorts for their dangerous views. He has amassed a large following of other incels on Reddit and social media, where he shares hate-filled misogynistic memes and strange videos of him either walking around menacingly in a public while wearing a ski mask, or performing sexual acts on the doll he is in a relationship with. Yes, that last part wasn't a typo. He even has her listed as a significant other in his Facebook's bio section. Not anymore. He's been kicked off Facebook. An endless stream of pictures depicting the two sitting down to enjoy meals together, watching TV together, and even spending time outdoors, presumably in public, paints a picture of a very disturbed man. Now, sure, we can all point and laugh at the pathetic right-wing white man resorting to inanimate objects for affection. We can discuss how having disgusting worldviews and beliefs leads to isolation and loneliness because, shocker, women don't want to date bigots. But I think what's important here is that this is what right-wing politics leads to. This is a peek into what happens when white men spend too much time being perpetually online spreading hate speech. The social media echo chamber keeps validating their increasingly radical beliefs until they end up becoming actual monsters. Now, this is a member-only story, so what I have to do is put it into a certain website because I do want to read the whole thing. However, there is something else I want to mention after I get done with all this. Let's see here.
Okay,
2 weeks ago. We have it. So we have the full article. All right. Ooh, they have the machete incident. Okay, so I'm not real sure on this one, but we will talk about this. All right, so it says, the fact that this kind of behavior hasn't resulted in him being arrested or involuntarily admitted is frankly offensive. He's clearly unhinged and a significant threat to the community. We're probably looking at serial killer in the making. Oh my god, Marcus Aurelius followed one of these. I talked to that guy too. Yeah. But, okay. So basically he says, over a decade of my life has been completely wasted being rejected, insulted, and humiliated by women over things I never had control, such as my face and height. I had a steady job, attended church, social circles, went on every dating app, all to no avail. I'm tired of the bitterness and resentment I feel and just want to be able to move on with my life as this shit has been eating me alive for so long. So I've essentially given up on dating and compromised by buying a life-size sex doll. It's the closest I'll ever get to experiencing the touch of a woman, and at this point I'm coming to terms with that, at least until I get the cosmetic procedures I want done. Oh, I remember this one. Then maybe I could finally be considered as a human being by them. Alright, so again, let me read this whole thing before you, because when I tell you what I'm going to tell you, it's going to drop a bombshell. The discussion was started after, and by the way, I've talked to federal agents that were actually tracking this guy. And it, not necessarily him. Not necessarily him. There were people that were following him that were a certain kind of people. I don't mean incels. I mean people worse than incels. I mean people that were part of a trafficking ring. So, yeah. There was all kinds of feds. I met a lot of feds. And I'm really glad because, you know, I can actually talk with them about this. And, you know, we're all kind of monitoring people, honestly. I hate to say that. But you have to fucking monitor them. Because if anything goes out, they're going to come to me. And they're like, you know.
Right.
Because they don't really know everything. But anyway, let's go on and continue. So anyway, the discussion was started after users on Facebook, Reddit, and a forum known as LuxMax, I've never even heard of that, became concerned over the disturbing content he had been sharing, and their concern isn't unfounded as he already has a documented history of violence. Now this is disputed. We don't know if this is all true. But he says, on June 23rd, 2020, Travis Fodor chased 15 children through a forest preserve while wielding a machete. He was charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon and criminal damage to property. According to police, he chopped up one of...
He chased them?
Yeah, that's what it says. According to police, he chopped up one of the children's phones with a machete. Now, we're still not 100% sure because he said that the kids were harassing him. Like, they were bullying him and shit. And I don't know if that's the case or not. Like, again, I don't know exactly what happened, but that's what his account is. So I'm not saying the police are wrong. I'm just saying I know what his story was. You know, and there's always two sides to a story. Now, were the kids harassing him? I don't know. I mean, if these were just regular old children that weren't, I mean, literally, if you've got 7 and 8 year olds bullying you, I don't know what to say. I mean, you're a grown adult at that point. Yeah, I mean, you can say, okay, that's great, kids, but I really don't fucking care, right? Because they're kids. Like, who fucking cares? But apparently it got to him. He said he chopped up one of the kids' phones with a machete. But it says here, about 7 p.m., June 23rd, officers with the Forest Preserve District of Will County were sent to Runyon Forest Preserve in Lockport. And in response to a call of up to 15 juveniles reporting that a man chased them with a machete, according to Forest Preserve District Police Chief Tracy Chapman. Okay, I remember this. Travis of the 200 block of Morgan Street admitted he chased one of the juveniles who was on a bike after the juvenile insulted him. Again, if a kid insults you, who fucking cares? It's a kid that insulted you on a bike. He could call you, like, hey, you know, or whatever. It doesn't matter what he says. It doesn't fucking matter if he calls you that. I mean, it's like, hey, faggot, like, are you gay? Are you literally, I mean, do you take offense? Blair White's the one that said she wanted to take faggot back. She said, oh, yeah, she said, I've known more straight people that are faggots than I have gay people. And I'm like, well, I mean, if that's what it is, that's what it is. Again, I mean, are you really going to be like, oh, I'm so offended that you call me that? It's like, no, it doesn't fucking matter.
Yep.
But, she said she didn't know why the juvenile insulted Fodor. Maybe it was just trolling him. Maybe it was just fucking around with him. The guy just took shit way too seriously. She said Fodor then used a machete to damage a cell phone that belonged to another juvenile that was left on a picnic table. That's kind of fucking stupid. This is exactly why we can't allow these views to have a platform. Not just on Facebook, but anywhere. They should be banned from every platform, fined from every instance of hate speech, and suspended from using the internet by their ISP. that will never fucking happen, lady. Look, I don't agree with those views. I don't agree with some of those views as much as, you know, as much as your, you know, normal person. But you don't do that by just, oh, we're going to get rid of people being able to say those things. The only way you're going to get rid of people being able to say those things is by getting rid of the people, period. Like, taking them out in Minecraft. That's literally it. And and you know what they called that? Genocide. You know who tried to do that? Adolf Hitler. So,
I'm pretty sure that's what they do in Cuba, too.
Yeah. It's like, I didn't need drugs or alcohol. What the hell? He's wearing, I didn't remember this, he's wearing like a wig with a face mask. It's like, y'all motherfuckers created this. All you had to do was give me sex and love, but I was too ugly by your fucked up modern standards. Your actions have consequences, and I am the consequences. If instead of getting oh my god. Okay, so some of you guys are starting to realize already what I'm hinting at here with my little bombshell, that some of this stuff is maybe a little too exaggerated. If instead of getting meaningless 30-day ban for terrorizing women, minorities, and the LGBTQI, whatever, the sandwich community, they were suspended for accessing the web at all, maybe they would begin to unlearn their ignorance. These new age neo-Nazis always have backup social media accounts for when their bigotry finally gets them banned. Let's see how they like being put in digital timeout, unable to access the OnlyFans accounts they claim they don't have. I'll leave you with a few more disturbing images of this Elliot Rogers in the making. Okay, lady, all you did was make this guy fucking famous, okay? That's literally all you did. Alright, so let me tell you the truth about Kevin Handler. Kevin Handler was literally an incel parody account. Everything he was saying and everything he was doing was literally just to fuck with people. And you know how many female friends he had? And I mean legit, attractive, hot female friends he had? A lot. Because Travis is actually a really good, you know, decent-looking dude. No, I'm serious. He's a decent-looking fella. And the ladies were starting to catch up with that. And they liked his aggression and all this stuff. It was actually turning them on. I shit you not. I've read the comments. I was a friend of his for years, man. I read what the ladies would say. I read how they acted. There are ladies that miss him. The reason why I found out about this article is because there was a lady, a very attractive one that I follow, that asked about him. And I was shown this article from another lady who was also attractive. So, they miss him. The ladies miss him. That's the thing. That's what it was. Here she thinks he's an Elliot Rodger guy that's going to take people out. And this guy had all these hot women hitting him up left and right. Oh, yeah. And he has a girlfriend, too, because he totally posted pictures of her and him. And she's a decent looking. She's a nice looking girl, too. And they were at like a Halloween pumpkin thing, you know. And I saw it. I'm like, good. He's got a mustache now. He doesn't quite look the same as he did. But, you know, yeah, you can see he's happy. But again, it was all just satire. It was satire. However, it attracted a lot of people. So a lot of incels did find him. And I talked to a lot of those guys. It's how I learned a lot about the incel community. Remember, I did several videos about incels and the incel community. Some people may remember that. I was getting a lot of my information there because I was literally speaking to the legit incels. Because the real deals was following him. So I learned a lot about it. I learned about their love for Ryan Gosling and how they worship him. And, you know, that sort of thing. But it seems like a lot of young men, incel or not, are starting to look at Ryan Gosling's characters, you know. And if you have looked at all his roles, like Her and Blade Runner and Barbie, a lot of the characters that he played, young men, are looking up to. Especially the ones that are kind of disenfranchised right now. Those are the ones that say, oh, he's our guy. It's also interesting that Hollywood gives him these roles. Because, like, every role he's had has been that kind of person. He was also in the Doll movie. The one that we did here on the show. The Lars and the Real Girl. I think that was Ryan Gosling. So, yeah, he's been in a lot of those movies. But, anyway, all she did was make this guy famous. That's literally all she did. And, oh, I think there are some comments. There were some more. Oh, there's some responses. Ah! Free my N-word, Kevin. He didn't do nothing. He just wanted a girlfriend. And the guy's name was Chad Chanson. This guy's a friend of mine. Oh, Bella Rose. He's not nearly as bad as you made him out to be. He's never said a single mean, rude thing to me. Have you ever spoken to him, or did you decide all this based on some posts you saw? I think throwing his real name into this was over the top.
Huh.
Let's see. I mean, not that I like this Kevin fellow, but how do we enact your plan of throw incel off the internet without violating civil rights? Who will enforce it?
Yeah.
And, let's see here.
The writer of that article is she must be from Cuba. She must be a Cuban communist, because that's exactly what they're like.
I think they
and they're
just,
like, oh, you can't say this because
you know
that's
what?
Rude.
But I gotta give Deborah Davis, and Deborah Davis, it's worth noting that she's an older woman. She says, I think they just want attention. Ding, 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 ding! Mm. That was it. It was all literally just for attention. And I even posted that. Like, I let people know what was going on. They said, no, he's not, or he's a fed, or, you know, all this other stuff. You know what the most interesting thing was? When he went into the farms, because I followed that. I was watching him debate with people on Kiwi Farms, and they doxed him. They found out where he lives, and you know what this dude did? He said, alright, you know where I live, come on and fight me. Dare you, come on my property. He literally challenged them, and nobody wanted to do it. They were like, nope, this is not something we're willing to do. Because this guy's like, come on my property. You seen my house, you know where I live. Come on. It's like, oh my
That's pretty
God.
Ballsy.
So they don't even realize. Her name is Cindy Steinberg. She,
Yeah,
she
is. Maybe?
She is just a medium member. She's literally just a medium member. She doesn't have any real... I mean, she's written a few things. Oh, she did write some more articles. One of her articles, I said I do because he agreed to a vasectomy. Another one, it's time to break up with monogamy. If you're a leftist, you owe your beliefs to Jews. I went on
Yep.
The only way to dismantle the patriarchy is by forming a Dear White People, How to Be an Ally During Black History. Right into the world unite. Yep. Yeah. How white people hide their bigotry with humor. Supporting Trump should be punished as treason. This is literally articles she's writing. The case for regulating free speech. Wow, this woman is insane.
She's a member of the media. And she's, you know what?
Anti-Semitism has caused me to consider moving. Well, pack your bags.
Maybe you should.
Pack your bags.
And go on, get it.
Okay, let's see here. Okay, we got another one here from, what is this? Daily Mail. Hot Ones host Sean Evans breaks up with adult film star on Valentine's Day. Just 24 hours Well, 24 hours after the relationship went public. Love is no longer in the air for Hot Ones host Sean Evans, who broke up with his adult film star girlfriend just one day after they became public. Evans called it quits with Melissa Stratton, 34, over the phone on Valentine's Day because of the media attention the pair were getting. The 37-year-old YouTuber had allegedly told the porn star he wanted to keep their relationship private. He was caught off guard by... She was caught off guard by the breakup, since she believed that she and him had a genuine spark. However, she is also questioning the reason why Evans dumped her, as she allegedly got an okay from Evans to post photos of them from the Super Bowl. And, according to TMZ, Stratton found their breakup for a few reasons. Evans was the one who invited Stratton to the Super Bowl, which several well-known celebrities attended. The YouTuber also invited her to several other public events in Vegas that took place before the game. Sean was fine with Melissa posting photos of them from the Super Bowl adventures in Las Vegas, another reason she was caught off guard here, source told TMZ. Although Stratton was sad about the breakup, she had a feeling that Evans was feeling pressure from his side after the relationship went public. Okay, it says, despite being sad, Stratton responded to the breakup with a TikTok video that is now going viral on Instagram with the caption, "It's okay, I've got a better bald man to get spicy with." The man in the video is a fellow porn star by the name of Johnny Sins. A lot of people know who he is. So, yeah. Okay, so we've got another one here. Daily Mail.
He probably just couldn't handle the pressure of being with the porn chick, the shame and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I think that's exactly what it was. Daily Mail. I quit dating, but women won't stop begging me to marry them and take their virginity. They even send lavish gifts to try and woo me. Yeah. A model has claimed that she is constantly inundated with letters, gifts, and marriage proposals from obsessed suitors despite giving up on men for good. Chloe Amore from Las Vegas previously hit the headlines by sharing that she would never date a man who earns less than $206,000 a year. The 32-year-old has now said that although she doesn't need a lover in her life, that doesn't mean she isn't getting their attention. Social media star who has more than 2.1 million followers online has revealed that men are begging her to give them a chance and showering her with gifts worth thousands of dollars in order to get in her good graces. Don't do that. It's not going to work.
I wish someone would do that for me.
I receive loads of gifts from men. The norm is things from my Amazon wish list like flowers, balloons, and candy. But I've also had them shower me with shoes, lingerie, and fine jewelry. If I know the man or have met him in person, then a shopping spree is in order. Last year, I got given a matching Versace necklace and bracelet, a Burberry poncho, a suede YSL bag, some tops from Saks Fifth Avenue, and 2 dozen roses. The best I could ever receive would be the deed to a house. While some men take the material route, others try to win her over with words. I get tons of email from men saying they want to marry me or want me to take their virginity. I get messages from guys, potential suitors, and sometimes even their girlfriends. The best messages are when people send e-gift cards for Starbucks or Amazon. Of course, because that's how she gets free coffee and free shit. Quit giving her free coffee and free shit. She's not going for you. All you're doing is, like, you're just giving her shit with nothing in return. There's nothing coming out of it. It's like she might as well be a picture of a person, because that's all you're getting out of it. But these suitors are likely wasting their time and money, because although she appreciates the attention, she's happy to stay single. I enjoy being single, so I just want to share Valentine's Day with my fans. The last time I went on a date was July of last year. I was dating two different guys at the same time, and both relationships ended horribly. I wonder why.
Yeah, jeez.
After that, I just decided to only focus on myself. Chloe may not currently be on the lookout for a new beau, but she has a strict checklist for any potential dates that may arise in the future. Aside from the aforementioned thick bank account, the ideal man would be open-minded, kind, and self-made. Mostly, I want a good listener and communicator. Well, I guess you'll try one of those Chinese boyfriend apps then, because the Chinese women say they're good listeners and communicators. Wouldn't that be fucking ironic if a woman like this ends up with a damn, I like my Chinese AI boyfriend better. He listens to me. Someone who can own up to their mistakes and admit when they're wrong. If I'm being picky about looks, then I like guys who have dark features and brown hair. They should be clean shaven and their hair can't be longer than mine. I like a man who works out too, but not too muscular or bulky. Maybe if my dream man showed up, I'd consider dating again, but for now, I'm content being single. It's 107 comments. Let's see, what was the best rated comment? What is it with these narcissistic women thinking they are God's gift to men? Honey, you are not all that. Let's see. Worst rated. Now that was not good. We know what you are now, you're just negotiating the price. Somebody is awfully full of themselves. If she's getting the offer she says she is, she wouldn't need to publish an article about it. Give us all a break. She's a porn star. Google her. And somebody says B grade too. Oof. And then somebody said arrogance. They said your looks will fade. Whoops. Did I lose you? Hello? Hold on. Am I here? Hello? I'm here. Sorry.
I can
hear you. Yep. Sorry about that. Sometimes it happens. I pop off because of the phone or some other shit. All right. So let me go to the next one here. Now that we've got that taken care of. Okay. Since there are quite a lot here. Okay, here's one that's crazy. So we've got the mirror. This happened just today. Bride disgusted after catching groom being breastfed by his mum before wedding. A bride was left feeling sick after her shock discovery. Before walking down the aisle, her makeup artist confessed the story and it's left people gobsmacked. Wedding makeup artists might assume they've seen it all, from fights to tears, but one's pro story has left people utterly horrified. The beauty guru, known only as Jenny, had been helping a bride-to-be nip the loo ahead of her ceremony when they encountered an alarming scene involving the groom and his mother. Jenny shared the jaw-dropping account with UK wedding planner George Mitchell while they were working together, and Georgie recently recounted the story on an episode of the comedy podcast Unfiltered Bride. Building up the tension, Georgie told co-host Beth how the bride walked into the toilet and what she saw is enough to end the wedding. Initially, Beth assumed she meant the groom had been cheating on her and the loser taking drugs, but Georgie explained that her discovery was in fact much worse than that. To Beth's horror, and to the horror of many of their stunned listeners, Georgie revealed he was being breastfed by his mom. An astonished Beth replied, "Sorry, what? Why would you marry a man who breastfeeds?" To which Georgie reasoned, "I don't think she knew that was what was happening." Insane. The women then reflected on why his mom was producing milk, to which Georgie concluded that she'd obviously been doing it continuously to get to that point. Although not an ideal image to have in your mind's eye as you walk down the aisle, Georgie clarified that the shocked bride had indeed still gone ahead with the wedding. The woman then reflected on why his mom was... Okay, we did that already. She added, everybody is in the room... Hold on. There's so many ads popping up. Oh, well. We're gonna skip that one, because there's just 18 million ads. Ah! We can't do that one. Ah! Okay, I'm back. My God. Sorry about that.
There we go.
Yeah.
That was...
Yeah, it's, It's that site keeps inundating me with ads. Like, I'm constantly getting hit with ads. So, I can't... Yeah. I can't really use that site. I've also got only 4% on the battery here. Let's see. So, American Pie star Sean William Scott has filed for divorce after 4 years of marriage. Damn. Yep.
Wait, so about the breastfeeding story. Hold on.
Okay.
About the breastfeeding story. Hold on. So, was it the makeup artist that found...
Yes.
...the husband...
No. It was the makeup artist that basically... All right. Makeup artist basically found out from the bride that the husband was basically breastfeeding from his mother and that his mother had worked to a certain point so that she was still able to produce milk so that he could breastfeed. And the wife... the woman still went on with the wedding.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, the woman still went on with the wedding. The bride still went on with the wedding after that. I bet there was a hell of a talking to, though.
Oh, boy, that was some... I think that they need therapy.
Yep.
Because that's not normal. That's abnormal.
So,
that's weird.
This is our headline, basically, and it's a pretty big fucking deal, especially to me. So guys, I'm gonna definitely let you guys know, this will be the headline. Yeah, it's a little later in the show, but we definitely need to talk about this. Okay, so the bite. College students basically don't know how to read anymore. You know, my channel deals with reading. Yes, we read a lot of adult material, but we read, and some of those words that we read require a collegiate... Like, you have to have some sort of a high knowledge as far as English. Because there's been quite a lot of words like salubrious, which is actually, not a word that everybody's fully aware of the meaning of. And those words have popped up in some of our novels, even though they are for adults. You see things like that because the people that write these things, well, they have a degree in English, you know, probably a very good one. They're probably very experienced. And writing, reading, and all that sort of thing. So, if people can't read these, then, if people can't read, that's a problem. That's even a problem for me and my future content. I mean, damn, if people can't read or can't understand what I'm saying, then I'm not going to be able to make this content for much longer. People are like, Grim, I need you to dumb it down for me. Well, I can't. I mean, even with articles, if you can't understand what I'm saying in an article, it's going to be a problem. Like, what is that word? What did you just say? Okay.
Yeah, man, listen, not only that, but as I've gotten older and, you know, haven't used my skills as much because I've been a mom for so long,
mm-hmm.
I have literally forgotten English.
Well...
Like, I have to re-look up the definition of words. I'm like, what does that mean again? I don't remember, actually.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean... Also, like, we've really dumbed down the English language a lot.
It's so bad. Like, the way we write now, I was thinking about, like, the way my kids are being taught to read and write now and the way we were taught to read and write, and I'm like, oh, my God. Like, the standards have dropped. Like, even though they say, like, it's different standards, like, they expect them to be able to do things earlier, but... Their performance is going down.
It says, it's not just you. college students are having trouble reading too, and that's a major cause for concern. In an editorial for Slate, Adam Kotsko, an assistant professor at Illinois' North Central College, said that over the past 5 years, four of which, of course, have been dominated by COVID pandemic and its aftermath, he and a lot of his colleagues have noticed that their students are really, really reticent to do the reading. For most of my career, I assigned around 30 pages of reading per class meeting as a baseline expectation. Kotsko, whose classes largely include humanities and philosophy instruction, writes, now students are intimidated by anything over 10 pages. You know the thing where they say too long didn't read? Are you aware of that?
No.
Okay, no. They'll say TLDR if you write a long post on Facebook. Yeah, they don't want to read it. While it's no secret that there's been a very real learning loss as a result of the COVID lockdowns, there seems to be something much worse afoot, the author and educator muses. Not only did the marked decline in reading resilience start before the pandemic, but the students I'm seeing would have already been in high school during the school closures, Kotsko explains. Hence, they would be better equipped to get something out of the online format, and more importantly, their basic reading competence would have already been established. As he and his fellow teachers discuss the issue amongst themselves and at times in trade publications, including how they're spending more and more time explaining basic concepts, the question remains, what gives? The likely culprits aside from early pandemic school closures, Kotsko explains, are pretty evident. Smartphones becoming the main medium for reading, and the teach-to-test style of pedagogy that has been for decades now dominated primary and secondary education. Add in teaching fads like the balanced literacy movement that majorly de-emphasized phonics education in favor of reading comprehension, which can of course be measured by a standardized test, has led to vibes-based literacy, as the NCC assistant professor and others call it, in which students are not instructed to sound out word pronunciation anymore. Why not? That's how you learn to fucking read.
Yep, because of this famous lady, I forget her name, and she was an educator, and she, published this book about how to teach children how to read, and basically, all of the schools in America, because she developed this course, all the schools in America used her course and changed the way that we taught kids how to read. And then teachers started getting pissed because all of their kids started failing reading.
Man, it's almost like it was engineered. You know? Like, oh, this woman did this. Oh, yeah, there wasn't totally some agenda behind it. Like some corporation.
Right?
Yeah. It's like, hey, we can dumb down the people and sell them our bullshit if they can't read it. They don't know. And that's literally 1984. Remember how they did Double Plus Good and all that kind of shit that? They wanted, called Newspeak. We're definitely in an age of Newspeak right now where people are not understanding the meaning of words, are not wanting to read. And the less you want to read, the less informed you'll be. People don't even want to read articles. Yeah. I have looked at articles, and I've looked in the comments section of articles that I've read and can tell that people haven't read them. And the thing is, people haven't read them to such an extent that they literally make up their own definition of what the article said without even having read it. And I said, you would know that if you just read the article.
Yeah, so what gets me even worse is how these 20-something and younger, they have all these new words that mean things that have, they're making new words based off of memes.
Yeah.
And unless you've seen the meme, then you don't understand it. And, they explain it to me, and I'm but how does that mean that?
Yeah, that is a problem. You know, meme actually has a psychological background. You know, it's not just some word we use for a picture on the internet it actually has a psychological background. So memes are very, very important. And if you study memology, you can actually learn a lot of shit. You'll see, why memes can influence people. It's psychology. You can have a picture of something and some words, and it didn't even happen. But if enough people believe in it, it'll become reality to them. And that is very, very, very dangerous. Perhaps the most jarring source of the issue, however, is teachers' acquiescence to it by assigning shorter excerpts and yet another means of teaching for standardized tests and not, you know, for education and enrichment. I have to think that we can, at the very least, stop actively preventing young people from developing the ability to follow extended narratives and arguments in the classroom, the impassioned assistant professor exclaims. Regardless of their profession or ultimate educational level, they will need those skills. Wow. That's very, very scary. So let's see here. Okay, so we've got... we've got just a few more minutes. So let's see. Jennifer Tilly loves filming sex scenes at 65, as it's a free pass to get naked. Jennifer Tilly is not afraid to strip off and take part in a raunchy scene. The ageless beauty loves shooting the X-rated moments as she's able to get naked and fool around. Jennifer Tilly is no stranger to filming a sex scene, and it turns out she's rather fond of them. The Hollywood star, 65, hold on. Damn it, there's so many ads! I'm gonna have to use another browser. That's how bad this is getting. Okay. Chrome, and I shouldn't be. Jennifer Tilly is no stranger to filming a sex scene. You know what? I got an idea. I'm switching. I'm going to go into another damn browser right now with this shit.
I got to mute my mic real quick. Sorry.
You're good. Jennifer Tilly loves filming sex scenes at 65 as it's a free pass to get naked. Jennifer Tilly is not afraid to strip off and take part. Well, we did that already. The Hollywood star, 65, shot to fame in the 1994 movie Bullets Over Broadway, which bagged her first Oscar nomination. Then came along the role of bisexual femme fatale Violet in the racy drama Bound, released in 1996. I haven't seen that, but I'm going to have to check it out. Since then, it's fair to say that the ageless beauty has not stopped. She's played the iconic Tiffany Valentine in the horror franchise Chucky for decades, and has even turned her hand to poker, embarking on a career in the gambling world. Wow. Over the years, Jennifer has not been afraid to strip off and take part in a racy sex scene either. But while some actors take issue with getting down and dirty, she don't mind. In fact, she loves X-rated scenes and is full of confidence when shooting the more saucy moments. Jennifer also noted how the crew watching her on set when filming the scenes makes it even more fun. Speaking to The Independent, she said, "I know actors are meant to say, oh, they're awful, but it's always a terrible day to have to get through. But I love them. Who wouldn't love sex scenes? It's an opportunity to get naked and fool around with somebody that's not your partner. And all the people standing around, that makes it even more fun." She echoed her thoughts when speaking to Fox News as well. She gushed, "But it's an out-of-body experience because you're not yourself. You're the character that's in love with the other character, and so it's really almost like a free pass to make out with somebody that's not your boyfriend." And it turns out she's more than happy to carry on with the raunchy scenes decades into her career. She added, "Not a lot of people have had this kind of longevity, and there's not many parts out there for women my age that are as rich and varied. I get to have sex scenes and kill people and pretend to be a master criminal. I mean, can you imagine me playing a grandma?" I mean, I don't know. I always thought Jennifer Tilly was hot as fuck in the Chucky movies. That was one of my... When I was a young man, I was definitely into her. But
You know, if some women are into that stuff, that's cool. You know, more power to them and whatnot. I feel a little strange being naked around people that I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't like being watched. I don't like having sex around other people. That's weird to me.
Oh, yeah.
But if she likes it, then I'm glad for her.
Okay, so we do have one more article. This one, Drex would actually like. Foot fetishism goes mainstream with fans paying up to $45,000 for pics. See how much yours could be worth. Want to sell your soul? Struggling with inflation and higher interest rates? Can't seem to get a handle on your budget? Put your feet to work with you. Excuse me. Put your feet to work for you, one sexpert recommends. That's right. The key to financial freedom could be a few clicks of the camera away, earning you up to $45,000 a year as long as you have the right toe type, Melissa Cook, a sex therapist, told Jam Press. And if anything goes, Zara, anyone can wiggle their tootsies and bring in a bit of cash, but if you're fortunate enough to possess peasant, Roman, or Greek-style trotters, you're passing up the opportunity to earn some serious dough, Cook said. Foot fetishes are one of the most common fetishes, she continued. The rare peasant foot type takes the lead when it comes to earnings. This is when the three largest toes are equal in size. A survey released by fetish site Fun With Feet revealed that models with square feet were earning up to $45,000. While those with Greek feet, where the second toe is longer than the rest, could earn about $43,000. Roman feet, where the first three toes are of equal length, can also command a pretty penny, mostly because there aren't a lot of models showing that type off yet. Warning, however, making bank in this game is about more than just pimping out your piggies, Clark said. If you want to be successful, there's lots of things to consider, but mainly you need to think about the quality of your images and understand your audience, she explained. It's more than just taking a quick snap. It's a process. Try to get creative and think about incorporating props, taking multiple images, learning to edit, play with different lighting and filters. Creating unique and high-quality content is more likely to sell. Red toenail polish is favored among the majority. A model's personality can have a big impact on the overall experience as well as whether an individual will return and buy pictures again. I actually had a friend who was a foot fetish model. She did it for a long, long time on a certain website. With users displaying a preference, those with clean and nail polished pictures are 75% more popular, with 96% of people saying they find hairy feet unattractive. Despite this, common tootsie shapes can still see 21,000 euros a year on average, particularly if you let your personality show. Unfortunately for many, the game could be over before it starts. The highly common Egyptian foot with a tall big toe will earn approximately 50 less than any other foot type. And if you've got hair growing on your feet, forget it. That's where a whopping 96% of Fun With Feet users draw the line. Now, there was actually a person, a man, that shaved all the hair and everything off their feet and waxed them and all that and started making all kinds of money pretending to be a woman's feet. It's a real thing that happened.
Well, shoot, I have the Greek foot, so maybe I should start making some money.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows? It says 43,000. Let's see, we've got, let me see if this is a new one. I think we may have covered, no, oh, this is a new one. Alright, so the last article of the night. I was a dominatrix who used to spank men with Bibles. Now I'm a celibate Sunday school teacher. Just a few years ago, Tessa Williams would regularly dress up in her sexy nun outfit, ask men to take off their pants, and proceed to spank them on their behind with a large Bible. Oh, I don't think God appreciated that. For 15 years, she was known as one of Australia's most successful dominatrix sex workers, specializing in all things BDSM, a term used for a variety of sexual practices that include bondage, discipline, dominance, submission, and sadism. The now 45-year-old worked under her kinky alter ego name, Contessa Doll, and would often book out for months in advance for men seeking to pay $500 an hour to be tortured and dominated in the bedroom. Damn! Man, what's up with these guys? But she has now swapped her chains and wits for sermons and Bible readings after she says she found God during the lowest point of her life in 2021. She's now become a strict celibate after finding religion and now teaches Sunday school classes on the weekend while she completes her business degree. At that time in my life, I'd achieved some success in the adult industry, had won some prestigious awards, was making a name for myself. But I found myself feeling empty inside and relied on prescription pills to get through everything. I felt vulnerable and lost. Despite the success I'd been having, I knew that something was missing and I yearned for something more. During lockdown, my life came to a standstill. I found myself with a lot of time to think as I was taking a break from work. I had some dark moments and felt like putting an end to everything. But then I heard a small voice deep within me urging me to keep going. Tessa explained that during an afternoon stroll a few days later, she walked past a church and felt compelled to go inside, something she had never even considered doing before. She said she was overwhelmed by the acceptance and love she felt by people she met inside, and she knew she wanted to say goodbye to her old life and pursue religion. She's now a devout Sunday school teacher who's dedicated to helping young people in her church. When I expressed a desire to serve in the kids' ministry, they encouraged me to pursue my passion and use my experiences to make a positive impact on young lives, she said. I believe that it's important for young people to know that there is always hope, no matter what they might be going through. It's a rewarding experience to share my journey with others, and I'm grateful to be a part of such a loving and supportive church community. During her time working as an escort, she'd be booked by a variety of different clients aged anywhere from 18 to 80. She would also sometimes be booked by couples seeking BDSM training so that they could spice things up in the bedroom at home. On one occasion, she was even booked by an 80-year-old woman who no longer had the strength to whip her husband due to her old age. Good gravy! But most of her clients were middle-aged, rich, and powerful men. Keep that in mind. Middle-aged, rich, and powerful men who sought her services as a fierce dominatrix. The most rich and powerful of my clients are often the ones who wanted the most degrading services. Let me read that again. The most rich and powerful of my clients are often the ones who wanted the most degrading services, she revealed. Mm-hmm. Things like being whipped and led around on a leash. They were all professional businessmen. You'd have no idea if you walked past them on the street. Tessa does not regret her past and says that her time working in the sex industry has helped her understand men. A lot of my clients actually become my good friends, funny enough, she said. BDSM would strip away men's ego and give me the sense of power and control. It made me see men in a whole different light and understand them more. They tell me everything about their problems and I'd use torture as a way to deal with their emotional pain. Oh, they would use torture as a way to deal with their pain. Wow. It is ironic. Mm-hmm. To think back, I remember I actually used to dress up as a sexy nun and whip men with Bibles. I can't even imagine that now. It was tough at times. Although I don't regret any of it, I'll never go back to that life. I sometimes miss the money, but I am so emotionally fulfilled. I've never been better than I am now. Tessa is a now devout celibate, and despite some men in her church asking her out on dates, she's committed to waiting for the right man to settle down with. The next time I have sex, it'll be with my husband, she said. This is something I've decided is very important to me, but I am not even really looking for that right now. I am committed to helping others through my church and want to share my story to help inspire other sex workers who are looking to leave the industry. I want them to know that there is another life out there if they want it. I never imagined my life would look like this, but I'm the happiest and most at peace I've ever been. I don't regret my past because everything served as a learning opportunity, and I've learned to embrace my experiences, both the good and the bad, as they have helped shape me into who I am today. I'm grateful for the trials and tribulations of my past. They've taught me to become a stronger, more resilient person. Well, that is...
Oh, she's handling that well.
That's very interesting. That is really, really interesting. Let's see. And, I mean, it's... Yeah, I mean, she seems to be doing pretty well.
So, yeah, she has a good state of mind on, it seems like.
Yeah, yeah, I would say so. That's a good thing, I think. But my God, hearing mm-hmm. her talk about the most powerful men out there, the big businessmen, the guys that own these corporations, the media tech giants and all mm-hmm. that, the people that run this shit. Mm-hmm. Oh, hold on. Mm-hmm. I completely forgot, and I promised you guys I was going to give you this article, and I never did. We have one more, if you could stay. This is one you're going to want to listen to. All right. Get your conspiracy hat on, even though it's not a conspiracy. Vigilant Citizen. The top six most deranged moments of the WEFs. That's the people that want to enslave you and say you're not going to own anything and you'll be happy. This is the top six most deranged moments of the 2024 Davos meeting. If you're wondering why the devil's head is the lead image of the article, it's because it was literally part of the decor at Davos 2024. What? It literally is the devil. I'm not kidding. In fact, I wish I was joking about everything in this article. Unlike most of the mainstream media outlets, I won't waste your time beating around the bush. The World Economic Forum is a parasitic and illegitimate organization that is run by non-elected individuals who are attempting to reshape the world. We've talked about this. in the worst way possible. It is rather difficult to overstate the nefarious aims of this organization, which prides itself on penetrating governments like some kind of cancer, while promoting insane slogans like, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. They're already doing that. They're already trying to take away physical media. You know about that, right? Don't sell any of your DVDs, your games, your CDs. They're trying to make it where you're never going to be able to have a copy of it ever again, because they're going to try to stop selling physical merchandise of that. Provides a good overview of the organization's long go. Okay. While ignoring these creeps would be beneficial to one's mental health, it is simply impossible. That's because the annual Davos meetings always manage to summon people who can actually make the WEF's dreams come true, like heads of state, CEOs of mega corporations, and representatives of global NGOs like the World Health Organization. Also, a witch doctor who blows on people's faces. As these guests sit on panels and preach their globalist gospel, two questions come to mind. Why do they all look so smug and awe of their own intelligence? Their air of superiority says a lot about their mindset versus the masses. But more importantly, why do their topics inevitably lead to less freedom, less quality of life, and more Orwellian control? Answer is quite simple. Their ultimate goal is a dystopian world government where the masses are reduced to a subspecies that is only allowed a limited amount of freedom and resources while being subjected to constant monitoring and pharmaceutical interventions. In other words, they're trying to turn us into cattle. To bring about this nightmarish vision, the WEF uses incremental steps. Year after year, they constantly attempt to normalize new outlandish ideas. Then they use crises like COVID to make them a reality. Their secret motto? Never let a good crisis go to waste. Davos 2024 brought forth once again a slew of creepy and radical ideas that all have a point in common. They lead directly to a dystopian new world order. And no, I'm not being a conspiracy theorist. The world's new world order were literally uttered during Davos several times. Here are top six lowlights from Davos 2024. Why top six? Because the WEF logo contains three sixes. It does! Holy crap! Number six, deranged tapestry. Before I even go into what was said at Davos, we need to look at some symbolism. The slogan of the site is Symbols Rule the World, and once again, the true unfiltered mindset of the WF was better expressed through one single piece of decoration rather than thousands of words. There's a screen capture of Davos' discussion that featured former UK Prime Minister Theresa May. There's a depiction of the devil on the left wall. There literally is, I'm looking at it. Theresa May and her friends were discussing in a room decorated with a Walthamstow tapestry, a large mural created in 2009 by cross-dressing contemporary artist Grayson Perry. There's a whole lot of insanity happening, but to sum it up, it depicts a woman giving birth to a baby whose trail of blood leads directly into the devil's mouth. Tapestry is filled with the names of actual corporations. Who? Nestle, Vodafone, Nike, Microsoft, and GlaxoSmithKline. You and I have all used these products. One can argue that the artwork comments on corporations and materialism affecting every aspect of our lives and leading us to an unholy existence. However, because most of these companies are actually represented at the WEF, it takes on a very literal meaning. It's not social commentary anymore, it's a blueprint, and they're proud of it. With that being said, let's look at what was discussed. Disease X and the Pandemic Treaty. When these WEF people look back at COVID years, their eyeballs turn into hearts. The drastic lockdowns, the mandatory masks, the orgy of vaccines, such fond memories. At Davos 2024, they hosted a discussion about Disease X, a hypothetical illness that could lead to another global pandemic. Among the panelists were the Director General of the World Health Organization, the CEO of Philips Healthcare, and the Chair of the Board of AstraZeneca. In other words, the guests were people who would profit greatly from another pandemic. The WEF knew what it was doing when they came up with Disease X. The panelists themselves admitted it was catchy, and they hoped it would garner social media attention. Well, it did. It annoyed and terrified people who are now convinced that the WEF is planning another pandemic. Can you guys imagine another pandemic? I mean, wouldn't that suck? Let's see. Just in time for the election, a new contingent to allow them to implement a new WHO treaty, lock down again, restrict free speech, and destroy more freedoms. In his opening statement,
we can't let them do this.
Huh?
We can't let them do this.
Well,
like, I don't know.
Nobody can fucking stop them right now, though. They've got all the most powerful people in the world. In his opening statement, the director of the World Health Organization pointed out that Disease X was coined in 2018 and was meant as a placeholder name for an unknown disease. He also added that COVID was the first Disease X, because of course it was. Although Disease X is said to be unknown, the WHO weirdly stated it could be 20 times deadlier than COVID. Wouldn't that be convenient? Where does this oddly specific figure come from? The goal is quite simple.
Right.
To normalize the idea that democratically elected governments should not have a say when pandemic strikes. Instead, global entities of unelected globalists like the World Health Organization, along with private pharmaceutical companies, should call the shots and bypass governments. To accomplish that, it was urged that countries sign the WHO's pandemic treaty by its May 2024 deadline. You hear that? They're wanting all these countries to sign this fucking deadline because when they do, it gives them the power. Your country will not be able to determine what happens during a pandemic. The pharmaceutical industry and the World Health Organization will. Doesn't matter what the president says, what they say goes. That really destroys your freedom of speech.
I had a vision about something like this happening.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shoot. Back in like 2021 or 2022, where like in my dream, my vision, we were invaded by like some Asian people and they like came into our houses and stuff and they were like trying to convince us that we were going to die and then there was some big explosions, and then America was free again. It was really weird. It was really scary.
Damn.
I hope it doesn't come true.
This is a global common interest. But, yeah. I mean,
they sign this treaty, it could come true.
Yeah. They're saying it's a common global interest, and very narrow national interests should not come into the way. Reread the quote above carefully. These exact words will be used over and over again to justify global government. Any excuse to be good enough to use these words. Like climate change.
No.
In the past months, critics have warned that the WHO's legally binding treaty would cede national sovereignty to this global organization and that it amounts to nothing less than a power grab. A letter published by the advocacy group Advancing American Freedom stated, "The WHO's proposal to consolidate power and erode the United States of America of its sovereignty through the WHO Pandemic Preparedness Treaty is untenable, and raises serious and significant questions regarding America's independence of action and ability to respond to global pandemics." In response to the critics, this guy said, "There are those who claim that the pandemic agreement and IHR will cede sovereignty to WHO and give the WHO Secretariat the power to impose lockdowns or vaccine mandates on countries. You know this is fake news, lies, and conspiracy theories." I don't know. Usually when people say fake news and conspiracy theories, it's usually because you're trying to dismiss inconvenient truths. Like the fact that you're trying to bring about a new world order. Speaking of which, those who say that a global elite is looking to create a new world order usually dismiss as conspiracy theorists. But what happens when the global elite casually discusses a literal new world order for all to see? What then? What does the conspiracy become but a confirmed fact? One Davos 2024 discussion featured Jake Sullivan, who's Joe Biden's national security advisor. This is not a random fucking dude. He previously served as director of policy to President Barack Obama, national security advisor to Vice President Biden, and deputy chief of staff to Secretary Hillary Clinton at the U.S. Department of State. Sullivan also served as senior advisor to the U.S. federal government at the Iran nuclear negotiations and senior policy advisor to Clinton's 2016 presidential campaign. In other words, he worked with the most powerful globalists in the world. Here's a part of their discussion about a new world order. In response to the moderator's question asking if we're entering a new world order, he stated, "The post-Cold War era has come to a close. We're at the start of something new. We have the capacity to shape what that looks like, and at the heart of it will be many of the core principles and the core institutions of the existing order, adapted for the challenges that we face today. The WEF loves to tell us that we have to start as something new. Of course, that is all propaganda. If there weren't media-generated challenges such as COVID and global warming, the WEF wouldn't know how to promote its new era. The motto of the elite is order out of chaos. They generate chaos to bring about a new order. To the elite, a new world order would be without nations or elections. If you think I'm exaggerating, here's a video of Klaus Schwab fantasizing about brain implants that render elections useless at Davos. Yeah, because the man that wants you to eat bugs also wants to make it so you get brain implants and won't be able to vote. So he doesn't even want you to think for yourself. He wants a chip to be in your brain so you can't even think. So don't get the fucking brain chips, folks. So what would a WEF-led New World Order look like? Well, Communist China is a laboratory for totalitarian globalist policies, and its social credit system is currently being tested there. Unsurprisingly, several guests at Davos called for technology that would make such a thing possible on global level. Digital control. Do you remember vaccine passports during COVID? You know, that time when millions of people suddenly turned into second-class citizens and were banned from travel and public spaces because they refused to be injected with a pharmaceutical product? It was a sick, abhorrent mistake.
Mostly black folk.
Yeah. Abhorrent mistake, right? Not according to Davos. For them, COVID was a test run, and they want to make this permanent. During the Davos session, Fixing Healthcare Digitally, the EU Commissioner for Health and Food Safety, Stella, oh man, I don't like the fact that she's the EU Commissioner for Health and Food Safety. You shouldn't have somebody like that deciding what food is safe. Because they're trying to kill you. Praise the vaccine passports as an example of what should be done in the future. Craig, whatever her name is, casually pointed out that this whole project has been taken over by the WHO, which is once again a globalist organization that operates outside of normal governments. Is this national governments, rather? Is this normal? As if to make sure we understand that Davos is about the elite talking down to the masses, the WEF brought out the literal Queen of the Netherlands to sing the praises of a digital ID. Why her specifically? No idea. Might as well bring out the Queen of Hearts from Alice in Wonderland while we're at it. But let's listen to what she has to say about digital IDs. She said that a biometric digital ID should be necessary to obtain financial services. You know what they called that in the Bible? That was called the Mark of the Beast.
Yeah.
It said, financial services for school enrollment to know who got a vaccination or not, and for government subsidies. It doesn't take Nostradamus to realize such a technology could easily turn society into a dystopia. With such a system in place, an unvaccinated person could easily be debanked. Imagine that. Losing all your money. And denied government subsidies. In China, people who criticize the system see their social credit score penalized. Could that happen with a digital ID? These hypothetical situations might seem paranoid if the WEF didn't spend so much time whining about free speech. 2. Censor the critics. A recurrent theme of WEF discussions is, ironically, restricting free speech. Everything that goes against their agenda is deemed disinformation, and it should be eradicated. At Davos 2024, President of the European Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, stated that fighting disinformation is the top concern of the WEF. Of course, disinformation is code word for whatever fact or opinion goes against their narrative. Later in the video, she praises the Digital Service Act, which controls and monitors quote-unquote hate speech, a term that keeps getting wider to engulf, once again, anything that goes against their narrative. In another stunning video, an editor of the Wall Street Journal literally stated that they used to own the news until these pesky alternative sources came along. In the most ironic twist possible, what she said is pure fake news. Mainstream news sources are more opaque, dishonest, and agenda-driven than ever. Several outlets have turned into outright propaganda machines where information is only deemed good if it serves an agenda. Did you watch NBC News recently? I mean, seriously. Number 1. Inventing words. In this final piece of WEF insanity, a panelist wants ecocide to be considered a serious crime. Okay, sounds crazy, but what could be considered ecocide? This woman mentions fishing and farming.
What?
Fishing and farming. They want to consider that ecocide and a serious crime. Oh, I'm sorry, God. Sir. You can't farm your land. I'm sorry, sir. You can't go fishing. You can't catch fish. You can't hunt. You can't kill these deer or whatever else. Squirrels, whatever they do, you know, ducks. You can't kill this stuff. This is ecocide. You're destroying the planet. Yeah, you heard correctly. JoJo compared farming and fishing to genocide. And she wants to see these people punished on a criminal level. As we've seen above, the WEF specializes in creating extremely slippery slopes, and yet this is another one. JoJo wasn't invited randomly. Her extreme views represent the WEF's long-term goals. If you've been following the news in the past years, you've probably noticed that the elite has been waging an all-out war on farmers, especially in Europe. None of this is by accident. The WEF is using the environment to vilify fishing, farming, and agriculture while churning out policies to destroy their livelihoods. This is followed by massive land grabs by megacorporations and globalist stooges such as Bill Gates. Look it up. Look up how many how much farmland Bill Gates has bought up. He's buying land like crazy. The ultimate goal, to have humans feed off bugs and highly processed, barely digestible food products. They'll be the ones eating delicious steaks, not us. In conclusion, this year again, the WEF put on full display the long-term aims of the global elite. While they love to pepper their speeches with words like freedom, democracy, and prosperity, their policies lead to the exact opposite. And the examples above, we've seen talks about the WHO taking over pandemic response on a global level, the implementation of a global digital ID that would control all aspects of your life, the censorship of dissenting views on the internet, brain implants that render elections useless, and finally making farming a serious crime that is comparable with genocide. You'll be literally Hitler if you have a farm. Does that sound like freedom, democracy, and prosperity to you, or complete insanity? Look back at the satanic tapestry depicted above. This is the life they want for you. So there we go.
I don't think that's gonna fly. I don't think the people are gonna go for it. And those who do, I don't know. I just think that we'll make our own economies.
Yeah. I gotcha. I mean, it's bad. But here's the thing is, here's the thing. People have to want to rebel against it. People have to want to fucking say no. You know, they're already talking about a possible balkanization of the United States because all the shit that's going on.
What does that mean?
Balkanization means splitting the United States up. Basically into one half is this and one half is that. And maybe civil war, but I don't know about that. I think it'll just be balkanization. I don't know.
I don't believe there's going to be a civil war. I think if anything is going to happen, is a bunch of these migrants are going to go crazy on us. I don't know, because it scares me. I mean, hopefully they're here for good reasons, but they all seem to be going to Phoenix for some reason. And, I don't know what's up, man. I don't know.
That shit's getting weird. That shit's getting weird. We've got a lot of people invading the country. It's getting really crazy. And Joe Biden, I think he gave a speech, and they said that he talked to... They asked about somebody, and he said that he talked to them yesterday, and that person's been dead for 10 years. So, this man isn't even making sense. He's definitely going to be put in. I know the Taylor Swift things. People are talking about her. There's a lot of shit about her on this site. But I literally think she's just... I think she's you don't pay attention to us, pay attention to Taylor Swift, one of those kind of things. I think she's a decoy. I literally think all the people freaking out about Taylor Swift and how she can influence the election, I think there's more... going on than her. She's just a clever decoy that people are using to hide what's really going on. Yeah, get mad at Taylor Swift. Don't get, you know, worry about her life. Don't worry about what we're actually doing behind the scenes. You know. That's what's going on.
Sorry.
It's always bread and circuses. And she is just a bread and circus for people that are easily led astray. And some of these people are, you know, they're more watchful. They're more vigilant. They look at things, but they can still be led astray by some of these news media articles. You know, I even thought at first that she might be kind of a plant, but I looked at it further and I'm like, yeah, they're purposely talking about her just to get people to focus on her and all this shit instead of what's really going on. You know, because we only got a few names from that Epstein list. And there's been some really awful things like Chris Tucker. I don't even know if I can watch movies with Chris Tucker anymore because he was on the Epstein Island, like, big time. And, oh yeah. I mean, there's so many rappers that they've wanted to wear dresses and they've wanted to do gay stuff with them. Puff Daddy wanted to do... Oh yeah, Cat Williams. We did a whole article about Cat Williams where he's talking about that Puff Daddy wanted to basically give him a blowjob and all this shit, and he was going to offer him $50 million. He said, I've turned down $50 million 4 times in my career because I wanted to keep my asshole intact. I mean, that's literally what we have going on right now. We got literally crazy fucking pedophile elites, and not only that, they want to control everything. They want to make it so that I can't even get news out to you, or that I can't even read this stuff, or that people can't even write about it because everybody's controlled by what the fucking brain chip tells them to, like a really bad dystopian novel. There's novels where they have a little chip that tells everybody what to think. Or you have the 1984 where you have that 5 minutes of hate where they have that guy come on and everybody's screaming and bitching and hollering at him. And then after that, they go back to doing what they want and realizing that guy never existed. He never existed. He was just a thing to make people mad. He was controlled opposition. That's literally it. Yeah. That's the thing. They literally wanted people to, oh yeah, this guy's horrible. And they're telling you how bad he is. And that's what people are going to think. They want people to just, whatever the chip tells them to. And they're going to have to make that chip really fucking great. Okay, I'll tell you how they're going to do it. And this goes, unfortunately, into my whole neon pill kind of thing. Which is why I'm almost dropping that. Because, basically, how do you get a person to want a brain chip? Well, first of all, you gotta give them something that they want from the brain chip. Obviously, people are doing a lot of fucking, they're not having a lot of sex, there's not a lot of shit going on like that. There's no relationships being formed. So what do you do? Well, you give them a brain chip that gives them the fucking, basically, anybody that's familiar with cyberpunk in general are the brain dances. Basically, that's what they're gonna do. You have the chip. And the chip will allow you to access all these fucking little brain dances where you can have sex with all these people and you feel it and it's real and it messes. And it's, you know, it's brain waves, it's stimulation. It's everything you get from a real person. Same thing with romantic conversations. You could literally just, like, pick a menu in your head and find that romantic conversation stimulation and feel like you're with a real person. They can, they just like with video games, you know, they come out with a million video games, they'll come out with a million little brain dances. You go in there, you get one, oh, cool, I want to talk to this superstar, I want to go fuck this superstar. Cool, as long as you do what we say, as long as you listen to the little thing in your head. Don't vote, don't worry about us, everything's fine, your country is fine, we're doing the best for you. Eat the bugs, enjoy the little thing in your head. That's what they want. That's literally what they want. So, yeah. Unfortunately, they've got to pepper that stuff. They've got to bring us that the things that people aren't getting anymore, the relationships, the romance. We're not even talking about sex. We're talking about real intimacy with your partner, love and all that kind of thing. You've got to give them artificial versions of that so that they'll want to do whatever you say. That's literally how they're going to do this shit.
I don't know. That sounds so foreign.
That's what people want. Because, again, people aren't having sex. They're not having relationships. They're not doing things that people should be doing. People aren't... Like, I just talked to a friend of mine. She's like, you know, me and my son's all I need right now. I don't want men. I don't want to deal with men. I don't have anything for men. It's just not anything I'm into. A lot of them, you know, they're not... I mean, they're using a vibrator every night. That's literally it. That's literally their life. Like, I mean... That's what we've got. And yes, I run an adult games channel, but, you know, at the same time, that's literally what people are doing now. That's what's going on right now. That's the thing. It doesn't get any better from here, folks. It literally doesn't get any better. And it's chilling. It's chilling, but that's literally what we're waking up to. That's the kind of world we're going to continue to be living in. Things aren't getting better, they're getting worse. There is no sign of a silver lining. It's just a black cloud. But at any rate, I guess this
I do.
Oh?
I do see silver linings because I see advancements in medicine and consciousness that is going to affect the world. I'm excited for AI because I believe AI can be good, and I wish I knew how to create an AI so that I could train it like on my own philosophy, or like train a philosopher's AI or something. That'd be cool. I don't know. I'm excited. I think it's going to be pretty cool. I think these losers are exposing themselves and the world isn't going to have it.
Yeah, maybe. Absolutely. I mean, you could be right. Like, I do think there is a good side to AI, and it's strange that you would make that point. But yes, AI, I mean, look, when I was first talking about the neon pill and all that kind of stuff, yeah, I was like, yeah, AI, robots, all that kind of thing. It could be really good, and it could actually...
That was the neon pill, maybe?
It could advance society. Like, they could think at a higher
level.
Yeah,
I believe it.
They could get things... They could do things differently. There's a lot of stuff that AI is doing that's actually really cool and interesting. But the problem is, it's who gets control of the AI. Because obviously, they're trying to reel in control of the AI right now. So that only the big companies... Because imagine, okay, Sora AI, Google it, just got developed. You know what Sora does? Sora doesn't do pictures. It does movies. Movies. We are getting to the point where we can actually make AI-generated movies that look like movies. We're not talking about you see a bunch of frames. No. I've literally seen some shit from Sora, and it is 100% full-on movies. So, Sora AI...
Man, that's cool. I want to play with that.
Yeah, I would too. And apparently you can use text to generate it. And the problem is, though, corporations are going to look at that, be like, we can make a movie of anything we want. We can make the people think anything happened. Because you could literally have Joe Biden talking to, like, the minister of, I don't know, some country that he never talked to. You're like, oh, this never happened, but there's footage of it. Oh, that footage is AI. Well, how would you know? If the AI gets that advanced, how would you not know? It was, you know, because we have not only the speech getting better, but we have the motion, the movie parts getting better. And yes, we can make our own fucking Marvel movies now. Yeah, that's cool. So if you want to destroy the X-Men, we can make our own. However, the problem is they can use this for so much propaganda, it's ridiculous. They can say, oh, it's always been this way. Look at this. Oh, check this out. You know, they can really change the world to be whatever they want it to be using AI. Because how are you going to know? It's only going to get more advanced from here. I mean, you guys followed me along when I was using my AI pictures for my thumbnails. A lot of my AI at the beginning looked pretty shitty. But now my AI images are starting to look really fucking good and professional. Because the AI is getting really fucking good and professional. So that's literally what we've got going on right now. We've got AI that's getting to that level. And it's kind of scary, but it's also kind of cool.
It's important that we learn technology and we learn like philosophy and debate skills because, and this is why I think maybe even like the global or like the universal UBI,
mm-hmm.
universal basic income, would be a good idea in this age, because then that would free up everybody to like go and study it and,
well,
you know,
become
part of it.
There's so many problems with the UBI though, because we don't have, like, it runs out. That's the issue. Like, the money actually runs out. If the money didn't run out, it would be great, but the money runs out. Like, it lasts for a while.
Well, where does the money keep going right now?
Well,
wouldn't you rather pay our people?
But like I said, it'll run out and everybody will be poor and destitute and won't be able to eat. And, I mean, that's literally what happens.
No, because they'll use that time to, you know, advance themselves, to learn and do something.
I mean, I don't know. I don't think UBI is, like, the answer. I think that there is... I mean, AI might be... Look, if AI... TFM's talked about this, and the only way we'd actually be able to do anything like that is if we had a way to make it where we never ran out of resources. Like with Star Trek, they have replicators. So basically, if they need something, they just replicate it. Like, boom, okay, you need another TV, here's a TV. You need this, here's this. You know, we can make just clones of everything. So then we never run out of shit.
This is how I have...
Go ahead.
Kind of how I have envisioned, like, I've always kind of liked architecture and stuff like that, and I've envisioned like buildings for the future that are pretty cool. I mean, I think they're pretty cool, but they're like these huge self-sufficient contained like mega blocks of like houses, apartments, like courtyards where they grow food, and there's like a doctor's employed there. It's like everyone's employed there. And they all work together, and all the different pods work together for the advancement of the whole of humanity. And so, yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm up for it. Again, I'd like to see something work. If it works, I mean, that's fine. What was it Dave Mustaine said? If there's a new way, I'll be the first in line, but it better work this time. That's the thing.
Yeah.
So it has to work. If it doesn't work and it makes things worse, then it's not viable. I mean, that's simply it. And that's nothing against the means. It's just, it has to work. We can't just have something that's like, okay, this could work for a number of years or maybe in a few months. No, we have to have it work permanently. You know, we have to have something mm-hmm. that's going to be sustainable. If it's not sustainable, it's not worth mm-hmm. messing around with, because it could be disastrous. It could make things worse. And that's all we need, is a worse society right now. Things are not getting any better. We definitely don't need them to be worse. So,
well, yeah, the only way, I mean, that in a way, it would be like a decentralization, because it would be like the community would own it. But it would also be a business.
I mean, I see what you're talking about, like a business commune or a community business, something like that. I mean, they do have, like, non-profits and stuff like that where the community owns them. I think there are maybe some businesses where they have, like, everybody is a member, a shareholder or something like that. I mean, I don't know how that works. It does seem... just a little off kilter for me. But again, it has to demonstrate its usefulness. That's the thing. It can't be just, all right, this works for a while. It has to be something that continuously works, because, again, we don't need it to fail. If it fails, the whole ship is going
to
fail.
I mean, they're building something similar in space, so why can't it work here?
That's interesting. I'll have to look into that if they are having some kind of community space station. I don't know how that would work. I don't know where the funds
for that. Yeah, the International Space Station. What are you talking about?
Yeah, and they're building a new bigger one.
It's going to be super awesome.
But somebody owns that. Like, there's not just... That's not like for the world as a community. Somebody has to own that space station. It's not
the
just...
International Space Station is owned by the international community.
I'll have to look at that. I'll take your word for it, but I want to look that up just to
it's
be...
It's like different countries own different sections, and they send their different cosmonauts and astronauts and
so like,
whatever the Japanese call their people, their space people.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's funny. So, okay, here's the Russian side. There's the Japanese side. Like... It's like everybody has their own special side. Oh, this is the American side, the German side. I don't know. That seems like... It feels like different countries in a way, though, if they're all on the same... Like, if they all have their own quarters.
But I bet when they're all in space, it doesn't feel like a different country because they're just there and living and working.
I mean, this could work. You know what? I'm okay with the whole community thing, like the world working together as a whole. I like that idea in theory, but people are just too fucking greedy for that to literally work. Like, that's one problem with it. People are just, like, there's always some asshole somewhere that ruins it for everybody.
But, like, what if AI brings up our consciousness, raises up our consciousness, and then makes it possible for us more? Here or something. Wouldn't that be cool? I don't know. I mean, I like that idea.
Yeah, I mean, again, if something like that happened, it would be cool to see what AI does, because I think AI, like, two things. It could be the bringing together of mankind or the destroyer of mankind. And I think it ultimately depends on how the AI considers us, you know, because we are really bringing something into consciousness in some way that is, again, programming zeros and ones. It's, you know, man trying to make an almost a Frankenstein kind of... It's like a man trying to make life. We're literally trying to make artificial life. It's a Frankenstein attempt. That's literally what AI is. We're trying to make a better human, because the AI, what, is supposed to think better and it's supposed to be stronger and faster and smarter. I mean, that's what Elon Musk was talking about when he was talking about with Joe Rogan, how much smarter an AI could make itself. Well, if that's the case, wouldn't it be stronger, smarter, faster? I mean, wouldn't it be better than a human? You know, so that's the thing. If it can think on that level, and if it can negotiate on that level to where it gets to the point where it can unify humanity, that might be interesting. Maybe it can figure out the problems we can't figure out. Like, maybe it can make the whole commune thing work. But I don't see it happening. I don't know. I'm skeptical. But, I mean, if it can do it, it can do it. But if it can't do it, you know, it can't do it. And, again, we have to be 100%.
I believe in you, AI. I love you. I don't care what they say. I think you're awesome.
Okay. But, again, it's worth thinking about. It's definitely worth thinking about. Okay.
Yay.
So, well, this has been a rather lengthy show, but that's fine because it was your debut back on the program again. And, yes, I'll be putting this on YouTube as well, as I've put on my other shows on. They don't get that many hits on YouTube, but they get all the hits on BitChute. BitChute's where everybody heads out to check out my content. I'll put it back on there and see what people say. And, of course, I know the comments section at MGTOW.TV is going to be very interesting, to say the least. But, definitely glad to have you back. And, you know, like, whenever you want to schedule this again or recurring or whenever you can do it, let me know and we'll definitely continue. As for DP, I don't want to say...
Yeah, I was wondering about...
It's hard for me to talk about this, okay? So I don't want to end this on too sad of a note, but DP is not doing well. So obviously he had a kidney transplant, and the kidney, you know, it was okay at first, but to put it bluntly, his new kidney is failing. It's failing. And basically he is in the hospital right now. He was going to go home today, but they said they wanted to do some more tests because they want to, see what in the heck exactly might be making his kidney fail. They want to make sure they've, you know, gotten every kind of information they can. They want to do more tests. So he's got a tube in his neck right now and all this other stuff, and he's trying to keep the best of it. He's posting a lot of comedians, you know, Norm MacDonald and all these comedians that make him laugh. He's posting funny things, and he wants to stay alive for the Deadpool movie. He definitely told me that. It's one thing he said. He said, "I just got to make it alive till July," and that's really hard for me.